Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. We're going to be reading one verse there, and then we're going to be turning over to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. So I'm going to let you give you just a second or two to find your spot in Acts 27 also. Matthew 16 and Acts chapter 27. All right, let's go ahead and look down to verse 18 of Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. This is Jesus speaking to Peter, and he states this: "And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now let's look over to Acts chapter 27. And let's look over to verse 39 to begin with. And actually, we're going to back up and start reading in verse 35 also. Beginning in verse 35, the Word of God states, "And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in the ship 260 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land. But they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to the land." Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Now, Father, as we come and approach your throne of grace today, we thank you for your guidance. We thank you especially for leadership in our lives, and the most important thing today, Father, we thank you for our salvation. I pray today, Father, that you'll take the words of this lesson, Father, the words that have been written there in Scripture, your words, and Father, that you'll use them to speak to the hearts of our people today. Lord, allow your Holy Spirit to work through our midst here and encourage us and strengthen us, that, Lord, that we can go out this week and be the servant of Christ that we should be. And Father, today we pray, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to take charge here in this service, in this church. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to speak today on the subject, a little bit different today than you might expect on a Sunday morning, but I want to speak to you on the subject of building a church that cannot be destroyed. Building a church that cannot be destroyed. The number one thing that the devil wants to do in our lives individually is stop us from being a Christian. That's the number one thing he tries to do. If we do become a Christian, if we accept Christ, we know we're going to heaven. The devil comes to us and he tries to attack us in our homes. He tries to attack us in our personal lives. He attacks young people. He attacks middle-aged people, young teenagers, and senior saints as well. He attacks every single one of us because he doesn't want us to succeed as a child of God. He does not want us to be able to share the Word of God with other people, because if He can attack our testimony and our witness, then what good is it for us to go tell somebody about Jesus then and try to get them to come to church when they look at us and say, well, I don't want to live the same life that you're living. And so the devil tries to get at us. Then when we gather together in our churches, our local assemblies, we gather together, and then the local assembly becomes weak because we have weak-minded Christians in our churches. And so our church then is not a stronghold. It's not a stronghold for faith that it ought to be. I've spoken to some folks here recently in this area, and I know that even in this area and in the areas where I grew up at, many years ago, especially even back in the frontier days, churches were the center of the community. They were strong. And people came to the center of the community because they wanted to hear about God. They wanted to hear, and they wanted their faith to grow. They wanted a strength that they could not get anywhere else but right there. Their children were taught in those buildings, just like the one we have down here. They were taught in those buildings, and then they would gather on Sundays, and they would have worship services, and they weren't worship services like we have today. They weren't air-conditioned. There weren't all the people and things that you might see in our buildings today. And they would gather there, and preachers would preach the Word, and the power of God would come down, and souls would be saved, and lives would be changed for the glory of God. But it's because that those churches became churches that were strong, and their faith was strong. And they did not dare let the devil into their lives. They did not dare to let things confound them and change their lives. They wanted to stand true, and they wanted to stand strong to the faith. God tells us here in, back over in Matthew chapter 16, He tells us there something very important. He tells Peter, He says, upon the statement of faith that Peter had made, that thou art the Christ, He tells him, He says, Peter, upon this rock, that I am Jesus Christ. In other words, you're confessing that I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and nothing, not even the gates of hell, can prevail against it. Let me share this with you today. As a local assembly and a body of Christian believers, you and I are part of that church. Amen? And there should never be anything that would prevail against our church here and against you and your Christian lives. And if we would apply the faith that God asks us to, we would find then that faith can be put forward. Excuse me. I was outside most of the day yesterday. Sung several songs, and so my voice is not where it needs to be. I apologize for that. But my point is this. When we are doing what God asks us to do, the devil cannot fight against us. Amen? The devil, he might try to fight, but we will be victorious. It's not that we can be victorious. We will be victorious. Amen? And so, God wants all churches to be built on the standard and the premise that church cannot be destroyed. Amen. The devil is fighting against churches today. Churches are closing their doors right and left. Thank and praise God that we have a good attendance in our services. Amen. But can you imagine if the devil wasn't bothering all those other people that didn't attend today, what we would have? Imagine the churches out there that their attendance is not as strong as ours, that there are not people in those churches that are honoring God, and that church has become weak. They've become weak-minded spiritually. The pastor sometimes, they get to the point where they're so down and depressed because nobody's coming, and they preach their hearts out, but the problem lies there, and that preacher then gets discouraged, and his messages begin to get weak, and he begins to get his eyes off of what God wanted him to have his eyes on, and then that church begins to fall and falter and break away. And churches begin to close their doors. You know, there's a lot of churches in our community right here. As small as our community is, there's a lot of churches, but there used to be others. There's buildings out there right now that used to be churches. I travel on my way into Chambersburg, and there's a building there where they're redoing, and it's, I think, for sale or for rent. Used to be a church building there. They say, well, preacher, maybe they sold that building or they're trying to sell it and they went down the road to start another one. That could be so. Maybe their congregation grew, but did it grow because of their faith or did it grow because they just wanted people in the pews? You see, as we build a church, we have to build a church the way that God wants it to be built, and we build it that way, that church then cannot be destroyed. Satan may fight against us, and he will. He has already in the past, and he will fight against us now and in the future. But we must be prepared. We must be ready for that battle that the devil is going to throw at us, and we must go at it with our armor fully on and be ready to fight against the devil. Amen? In all facets of our worship. Churches today, they face many challenges. Challenges today that some churches of yesteryear didn't face. Because of social media and things of that matter, we can say something today in this pulpit and it'll be halfway across the country before you know it. Years ago, people didn't even get 50 miles away from their home, let alone have social media traveling thousands of miles. So we face problems sometimes. We face internal problems and fears that can we do this? Can we move on? Can we move forward? Or are we stopped? Are we stagnated? What are we doing? We face those internal fears and those problems. And yet we also face natural problems like a natural disaster. This church went through a natural disaster several years ago when the building burnt. I've read about some of that and heard about some of that. And wow, the church building burnt down. Can you imagine being awakened at night and all of a sudden you get a call? Maybe the pastor gets a call and the church members gets a call and say, listen, y'all got to hurry. Your church is on fire. Look, I don't want our building to be burnt down. I don't want this building to be on fire. But I want those that are the church on the inside to be on fire for the Lord. Amen? And if we can be on fire for the Lord on the inside, maybe we can curb some of those other things. We might not be able to stop the natural disasters that are out there, but I can guarantee you we can stop some of those things that are on the inside, the internal problems. Hurricanes, weather, all kinds of things cause problems. There are two things, though, to keep in mind as we discuss this topic today. First of all, I want you to go back now over to the book of Acts. And I want to show you an analogy that's there. The analogy that's there with Paul and these prisoners on this ship, the first thing, the ship depicts the local church. And here are people there that are on this ship. They're headed in a direction. Of course, they know they're going to prison. You and I know as the ship in the Lord, the church, we're headed to heaven. Amen. So the ship here depicts the local church, and the sea depicts the humanity and the people of the church and the community. In these scriptures, there are five different distinct principles that tell us how that these people accomplished victory when there was such a great storm in their lives. In other words, I'm telling you today, one way to make our church be able to withstand is to make sure that we fight against the storms that come against us. They did it, and we can do it too. So how do we do that? What did they do? They, first of all, they looked at the first principle that God teaches us in this. They looked there at the faith that they had. They were moved by their faith. Look down to verse 39 of Acts 27. Verse 39 says, "And when it was day, they knew not the land. But they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship." They had never been in this little area. I mean, there's a sea raging out here. There's a storm approaching, and the sea's getting worse. They applied faith here. They didn't know anything about this. And you and I, every single Sunday, every single Monday that comes, and the days after that, we apply faith as to where God is going to lead us and the direction He's going to lead us. We've never been to tomorrow yet, have we? We've never been to the rest of this day yet. And we have to trust God and put our faith in God that we can continue to move forward and keep the ship aright. Amen? Keep it going in the right direction. They had faith. You say, preacher, how do you know? Well, look back in verse 25 of that same chapter. Verse 25 says, and this is Paul speaking, he says, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." He believed God. He trusted God, the leader there. Of course, he wasn't the natural leader there. The captains of the ship were the natural leaders. But Paul was there. The man of God was there. And he said, "Look, I believe in God. I believe we can do this." Do you trust your pastor? Amen. Do you trust the leadership of the church? That when we say that we can do these things, that we can actually do these things? You see, if we believe it and we trust it, but you don't believe it, the devil's already got in the mix, and he's going to cause more and more trouble, and we can never move forward from that. We'll sit there and spin our wheels, and we'll drown in the water like these people didn't. They moved by faith. And sometimes we find ourselves in uncharted territory as well, and not knowing the conclusion, not knowing what's going to be happening down the road. But we have to make sure that we apply the faith and we maintain the faith. We have to have faith in God. We have to have faith in God's man. Now, I'm not here to be worshipped. Pastor Hodge was not here to be worshipped. If you worship a man, then you're worshiping the wrong one. Amen. I'm here as the under-shepherd. God is the great shepherd. Amen. And I'm here to honor Him. I'm here to pay homage to Him. I'm here to let Him lead us and to guide us. I'm here to give you the direction that He gives me. Pastor Hodge was here to give you the direction that God laid upon his heart. And here as we are now, you are in that ship. We are moving forward, and we must continue to move forward. We must continue to do that which God has asked us to do, and that is to have faith in Him. Great faith. Great faith. Great things come about because of great faith. And I believe we can do it, friends. But again, don't stand there and worship me. I'm nothing to be worshipped. I'm just a frail human. I put my pants on just like each and every one of y'all do. Amen. I might tie my shoes a little different because my belly might be a little bigger than yours, but I had to prop my feet up to tie my shoes. And sometimes it's hard to get my feet up to prop them. But we're all in the same boat. Paul was in the same boat with all these prisoners, wasn't he? He was on his way to Rome to be put in prison. God had other directions for him, though. You see, the direction may seem to be laid out before us already, but is it the direction really that God wants? And God might even just decide to sidetrack us a little bit, you know. Put us on a little community called, a little island called Miletus, you know, spiritually speaking. We might even have some vipers out there, you know, that might come and try to get at us. But you know what, dear friends? God will prevail always. Amen. So we want a church that cannot be destroyed, amen. A church of the living God that we find that he talks about that cannot be destroyed, that even the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. How important this is. So we need faith. And we're commanded in the word that we're to have faith. We're commanded to follow the leadership. We have to have faith in these things. We have to have faith in the leadership of the church as we move forward through these things. Decisions are made. And sometimes you might not always agree with the decision, but you must trust God and have faith in it. Amen? We also have to have faith in God's Word. Look back with me in verse 25. Verse 25 again says, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." What's he talking about there? He's talking about the Word of God. We've got to have faith in the Word of God today. We've got to have not just faith in the people in the church and in the leadership of the church and the pastor of the church and faith in God, but we've got to have faith in His Word. When I step in this pulpit, I guarantee you I'm going to preach His Word. I'm not going to give you some watered-down sermonette. I'm going to give you the Word of God today. Pastor did the very same thing. And pastors before him did the very same thing. They gave you the Word of God. And sometimes the Word of God, when it was given to you, it might not have been accepted too well, and it may not still be accepted too well. But listen, dear friends, it is the Word of God, and we will continue to issue the Word of God from this pulpit here. Amen? Amen? The Word of God. Have faith in it. The Word of God is so important in our lives today. We need to be reading it and studying it and applying it to our lives. Brother Tony mentioned this morning in Sunday school about success. If you want real success, you get in His Word. You keep His Word in your heart. That's what Paul told Timothy, wasn't it? Hide the Word in your heart. Make sure that you're honoring the Lord. Stand for Him. Be faithful. Be faithful to God. And if you're faithful to God, then you will be faithful to your church. Faith, then, you have to have it in God's Word. Now, why? Because God's Word is our sole authority to function. It's our sole authority to do anything that we have to do for God in this world. He gives us the authority to stand up here and preach. He gives us the authority to stand there and teach a Sunday school lesson. He gives us the authority to be able to have a community event, but yet preach to people and sing gospel songs to people. He gives us the authority to go out in the community and knock on doors. He gives us that authority. Somebody says, who gives you that authority? God gives us that authority. And through His Word, we must be challenged to honor it and honor that challenge faithfully. It is a sole authority. God's Word also is our guidebook. Amen? There's an old bluegrass gospel song that says, I'm using my Bible for a roadmap. One of my favorite songs. Amen? In one of my former churches, our song director and I used to get up and sing that song. He'd play his guitar, and man, we'd have a good old time. Amen? Why? Because you're using your Bible as your roadmap. I'm not using the newspaper. I'm not using the weatherman. If I'd used the weatherman for our guidebook this past week, we would not have had a car show yesterday. If I'd have used what I thought in my own mind, we would not have had a car show yesterday. But we had prayer, and we trusted God to take care of what God wanted to be done. And we did it, and God blessed. Amen? God's Word is our guidebook. And then we find also that our homes must make the book their guide also. In your home today, your family life ought to circulate around the Word of God. That ought to be the thing that you come back to each and every time. Whatever problem arises, whatever situation is there, you always go back to the Bible. What does the Bible say about this? You know, years ago there was a thing, I can't even remember exactly who started it, but WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, what does the Bible say? Amen? What does the Bible say about this problem that we're having with our daughter? What does this Bible say about what we're having with our son? What does the Bible say about what's going on in Washington right now? What does the Bible say about what's going on down at the local church? What's the Bible say about what we're doing as a church? We got to make sure that we're always in the Bible. It's central to our belief. It's central to our faith. It is the foundation and the standard by which we do everything. The Word of God must be there in the family. Our homes must make this book their guidebook, not Facebook. You know, I think Facebook ought to be called Faithless Book. Amen? We have gotten so mixed up in social media. And social media is good. We use it here. It's a tool that we can use for the Lord's work, but there's so many tools that have been used for the wrong reason. Amen? And we touch on it every single day when we get those phones out. You ever looked on your phone and seen how much screen time you use? Now, maybe you use your phone for business, okay? But I'm just asking you, if you don't use your phone for business, on most phones, there's a place where you can find how much screen time you're using. I think it'll alarm you, because I'll guarantee it'll be more time than you spent in the Word. It shouldn't be. It should be the other way around. So we have to make God's Word real again. We have to make it real in our homes. And then there's something else that these folks found out too. They had faith in God's church. Look at verse 31. Verse 31, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." Remember the analogy I gave you a while ago that the church was what? The church is, the ship here is a representation, an analogy of the church. And so he's saying here, unless you stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Unless you stay in the church, listen, dear friend, salvation cannot come to your heart. Salvation cannot come to our families. The church is so important. The Word of God is important. Faith is important. But the church is also important today. It is not something that we should just frivolously pass by. It is not something that we can just say, okay, well, I'll go today, but I'm not going to go for the next couple of weeks. Church is something that should always be important unto us. In fact, God tells us that it's so important, He tells us not to forsake it. And we should not forsake the church. We should not forsake the Word of God. We should not forsake our faith. We should not forsake these things. And God reminds us that it's over and over and over. We must make sure the church is important to us. It's important to us when we're getting married, right? We want to come together and ask pastor to come and help us get married, you know. We think the church is important when we want to have a function, a shower, a baby shower, a wedding shower, a birthday party, you know. Can we use your facilities and things, pastor? It's important then, isn't it? But what about all those in-between days like Sundays and Wednesdays? Amen? Is it not important then also? Is it not mostly important on those days? And God is telling us that. You say, preacher, you know, these people in the Bible, did they go Sundays and Wednesdays? It was a different time of that day. Did they go on Sundays? Not every Sunday. Did they go every Wednesday? Not every Wednesday, but let me explain something to you about what was going on there. Every single day in these small towns, what was happening around the temple is there would be apostles that would come. There would be preachers that would come, and they would stand in the temple. And as they would stand in the temple was an open-air temple. And there would be seats, concrete seats or wooden or rock seats on the sides of the temple. The temple had columns on it. And those guys would get in there every single day and they would preach and they would talk about things. And as the people in the community would hear it, they would gather in. And so every single day they were hearing the Word of God, not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays, but every single day. Somebody then would ask a question, and another preacher would jump up, and I'll answer that question. And not only did he answer the question, he would preach the Word of God to them and tell them why God said that that's the answer. That's what was going on in the early church. And then as the early church continued to move on through the centuries that came up later, things began to happen, and we began to have more traditional type services like we have today, where we gather on Sundays and gather on Wednesdays and we do the things that we do. Some type of an organized worship. Faith. Faith is something that is very important to us. Our church is something that's super important to us. And we need to make sure it is in our hearts and our lives. Is church really important to you today? I mean, is it something you think about all throughout the week? I do. I think about it every single day. You say, preacher, you're supposed to. You're the pastor. No, that's not true. I may be your pastor, but just because I'm your pastor doesn't mean I should think about church every day. There's some days, Brother Hodge, there's some days I think about bowling. Amen. I'll give you that $5 later. There's some days I think about my family and the troubles and trials that they're going through. There's some days I think mainly about some of you and the troubles and the trials that you're going through. And I'll put it to prayer. But we ought to always be thinking about the church somewhere in our minds. It should always be there. How's the church doing? What is the spiritual temperature of the church? Is it way down here? Is it cold when you walk in, spiritually speaking? Or is it hot? Is it on fire? You know, you can tell that when you walk in a church. Amen? You can walk in a church and you can tell by the attitude and the witnessing and the things that are going on in the church and the people as they share those things, you can tell how spiritually hot that church is. Amen? Say, preacher, that's not true. Yes, it is. Have you ever read Revelation where Jesus said, you're neither cold nor hot, you're lukewarm, and so because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth? He said, I would rather have you hot or cold than lukewarm. In other words, God doesn't want us to be in the middle. God wants us to either be hot or cold. Amen? And He would rather us be hot on fire for Him. And that's what He wants from us. So, the church, we find something else. Look down to verse 40 of our scripture here. We find that as a church, we must move forward. Verse 40 says, and when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves. Notice that word, committed. They committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands, not rubber bands, by the way, and hoist up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. I mean, let's get there as fast as we can. Guys, get the anchor up. Let's go. We've stood here long enough. The waves are coming. We're going to get in big trouble if we're not careful. You know what God's saying there to us? Quit sitting and spinning our wheels. Let's move forward, amen. Let's do something for the Lord. Let's show our community. Let's show this state. Let's show the United States what a church can do and be for the Lord. Amen. There are souls out here in this community all around us dying and going to hell. There are young girls right now out there that are contemplating, should I have relations with my boyfriend? There are boys out there contemplating, what can I do with the girl? There are adults that are out there. There are married couples that are out there contemplating, what can I do in my marriage right now? What can I do to save my marriage? What can I do? Do I leave? Do I stay? What do I do? There are people out there that need the church. There are people out there that need Jesus. There are people out there that need the direction that only we can give, only God can give in the church and through the church. And by moving forward, we show these things. We've got to move forward and stop having dead faith. Dead faith can do nothing. Alive faith can move forward. So let's take up the anchors. Amen? Hoist them, guys. Hoist them. Let's get the mainsail up so we can catch that wind of the Holy Spirit and move forward for the Lord. And keep our standards high. It's something I don't normally hit on much is standards, but we've got to keep our standards in the right place. Amen. Men, we ought to be men. We ought to look like men. Amen. Ladies, you ought to look like ladies. And I say ladies, and that's a, you look up the word lady. It's different than the word woman. Ladies, we ought to be ladies. We ought to look like ladies. We ought to come to church like ladies. Men, we ought to come to church like men. I'm not going to pick on you for your dress code. That's between you and God. But listen, dear friends, we have standards. Amen? And we better not let our standards low. If we let our standards fall in this church, then the devil has already won. We're not going to let it happen. We've got to have standards. So let's keep the standards straight. Amen? Keep us moving forward for the Lord. And then notice something else here. Look at verse 41. It says, and falling into a place where two seas met. Again, we're talking about the analogy here of the church. And where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the fore part stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. What happened? Well, this group of people, they majored on the fundamentals. What was their fundamental way to safety? If we stay out here, what's going to happen to us? We're going to get sunk and we're all going to die. So the fundamental thing to do was to make towards shore, right? So let's see if we can find the safest way, the best part that we can get safely into shore. What are we trying to do as a Christian, as a Christian church? We're trying to get safely to the shores of heaven. Amen? And we need to make sure that we hold to the fundamentals that have been taught, that have been stood by each and every day of our lives in a fundamental independent Baptist church. The fundamentals of faith. The fundamentals of what God tells us. Now, this presents an opposition, doesn't it? Because if we loose the sails and we raise the anchor and we start moving forward and we start trying to go towards shore, well, then there are sandbars out there. Spiritual sandbars that we get stuck on and even sometimes get broke up on. But what happened? The ship got broken, didn't they? And the captain, he was scared to death that everybody was escaped. But the Bible said that they all got to the shore, every single one of them, all safe. None of them escaped. They were all there waiting whatever thing was going to happen to them. Listen, dear friends, the ship may get broken up. The ship may get on a sandbar. But we are the church. Amen. And we must make it to shore. And God tells us that we will if we just do it His way. Amen. We must build a church that cannot be destroyed. Amen. Now I believe we already are in a church that cannot be destroyed. Because our church has fought through battles already. Many battles, and we have come through. Amen. That does not mean that there are not battles ahead. That does not mean that there's a whirlpool somewhere out there that's going to try to suck us down. But we need to make sure that we're just as ready for that battle as we have been for the others. Amen. And that we honor God and we move forward for this. The strength of a church is found in the Word of God. The stability of a church is found in the Word of God. The sustenance of a church is found in the Word of God. We must make sure that we stay the course and we do what God says. Take that rudder. That rudder represents the preaching, represents the men of God. Keep it straight. Amen. I'm so glad that y'all didn't settle for some yes man. Amen. I'm not tapping myself on the back or anything of that nature, but I'm glad that God led you to me. Amen. I believe I'm where I'm supposed to be. And I hope that you feel the same way. Let's keep the ship going in the right way. On our way to heaven, serving Him. Amen. And let's make sure that this ship cannot be destroyed. God loves you today. And let's make sure we honor Him. Everyone stand with your heads bowed and eyes closed. Pianist, if you would come, song director. I'm so blessed and thankful that God shows us in His Word truth and reality. There's not a single thing that we ever approach in life that God has not already approached first. And He gives us the examples and the truth with it. And that's why I want us to honor the Word of God. That's why I always want us to honor Him. And visitors, if you're here today and you're looking for a church, then you pray about it. Because this just might be the church that God wants you to be in. A church that stands on the faith and the truth of God. Members of this church, hang in here. Amen. Hang in. Because sometimes it looks like the ship is in danger. But I can guarantee if we'll just hold forth and hold strong, God will show us something. And it'll be a blessing. So let's be strong. Let's be vigilant. Let's be wise and follow truth and follow God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, the blessing you've given unto us, the opportunity we have. And Father, I thank you for this lesson today. I know it's been something a little different. But Father, sometimes when you lead us in a direction, we have to follow you. And Father, I ask you now that you would help our members, Lord, to follow as well. Lord, help us to grow. Lord, help us to find that spiritual bond that we need with you, and then, Lord, to reach out to the community to share that bond. Father, help us in our lives here in this church, bind people together close, and Father, help us to be that family, the family of God that we should be. And Father, we'll give you praise and honor and glory, for all these things are due to you. We ask this now in Jesus' name for his sake alone. Amen. What number, sister? 559. If you would, get your hymnal. We're going to sing one stanza this morning. And I'm going to ask you, if God has spoken to you in any way, whatever shape or form it may be today, I'm going to ask you to step forward and listen to God. Listen to his Holy Spirit. He's already been speaking to you. Why not go ahead and make the move? Amen. One stanza, and this is for you. Like that. Let Jesus come into your heart. Sometimes we let him in, don't we? But then we want to try to run him out. Let's not run him out. Amen. Let's keep him there. Let's keep him there and let him know how much we love him and how much we appreciate his salvation. And we do that by our fellowship, our faith, our church life, as we mold together as a wonderful, loving family. Let me remind you this again today, that God loves you, and so do I. Let's pray. Father, again, we come before your throne of grace, and we thank you for our salvation. We thank you, Father, for the things in our lives that you have done already for us, the things, Lord, that you're doing now, and the things, Lord, that you'll do in the future for us. We thank you for that. And we ask now, Father, as we leave this place today, that, Father, we can be spiritually full. Lord, that we can go out and exercise our spiritual strengths then and be ready to come back tonight to be filled once again. Lord, help us. Give us what we need. Help us, Lord, to be what you have called us to be, and, Father, nothing else. Father, help us to stay away from pride. Help us to stay away from sin. And help us, Lord, to always, always count on you. These things now we ask in Jesus' name, for his sake alone. Amen. God bless each one of you.